Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Pray, Lord God, that you would go before us as we look into Revelation chapter 6, cover verses 1 through 17. And I just pray, Father, that you would reveal to us your perfect will as we study these events that are going to take place during the great tribulation period. So we ask your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 17. I've titled it The Beginning of the End. Now, the first thing I need to keep in mind is that we don't see the name church anymore. The name church was the name it was given when it was on earth. The 24 elders who represent the church is with Christ in heaven. So here in chapter 6, the seven seals open up the great tribulation period. Jesus breaks the seals and the four horsemen of the apocalypse begin to ride. This brings an end to man's day on earth. But even more than that, the one who is worthy to open this scroll is now the one directing it from the throne, and that is Jesus Christ. There are certain things that will increase the intensity and the ferocity of the great tribulation period. First, the Holy Spirit will no longer restrain evil. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 6. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is going to leave this world. The Holy Spirit was in the world before the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit assumed a new ministry of baptizing believers into the body of Christ as we become born again believers. It's a ministry of indwelling believers. It's a ministry of filling them and of leading and guiding them while they live their lives in this world. The Holy Spirit will take the church out of this world at the rapture. But that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is going to leave. He'll still be here. The key to remember, again, the Holy Spirit no longer restrains evil on this earth during that 7-year time period. The false idea is the great tribulation will all of a sudden break forth. But as I look in the scriptures, it's going to ease into this terrible time. We already see things going on in our world that reveals to those who study God's word. Things are setting up to prepare for this terrible time. The stage is literally being set before our eyes. Things like lockdowns, forced vaccinations to get on an airplane or whatever the case might be, the masks, all these things that we are being forced to do. The governments of the world are watching and they're working to get their citizens to submit to them. This is exactly what the Antichrist is going to do. The world stage is being set. But only those who are watching for Christ's return will be ready when he comes for his church, when he comes to take his bride to heaven. There are two different systems of interpreting prophecy: the futurist system and the historic viewpoints. The historical theory takes a position that all this is history, and that it can be placed in history. They assume this is future from here on, or a little farther down they make it future, but they really can't place it into history. Amillennialists tend to fit everything going on from here on into history, but they believe there will not be a literal future millennium. Well, that is totally contrary to scripture. They don't deny the literal return of Christ, that he is coming back to this earth. But they reject a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, where we, The born-again believers will reign with him as kings and priests for 1,000 years. You know, when it comes down to it, I'd rather stand on God's word, because his word is the truth, and God has the final say. Keep in mind, we're following a chronological order. These events haven't yet taken place, and you cannot place them into history. We read starting in verse 1, John the Apostle. He says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, 'Come and see.' Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.' When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich man, the commanders of the mighty army, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" Again, remember, this time period is God's program for Israel, particularly the city of Jerusalem. Daniel in the Old Testament told us that this is for God's people and for the city Jerusalem. Paul the Apostle wrote that the Jewish people would be temporarily set aside for the age of the church. We see that in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. Jeremiah called this 7-year great tribulation a time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is the father of the 12 tribes that make up the nation of Israel. I also want to emphasize who is in control here. Every creature in heaven is now moving at Christ's command. Jesus breaks the first seal, and the rider on the white horse rides. Now, commentators have interpreted this rider as Jesus. They use Psalm 45 and Revelation chapter 19 to support their position. But most Bible expositors say the white horse and the rider is Antichrist. Teachers and expositors like Ironside, Schaeffer, Walvoord, Woodbridge, Pentecost, and many others. This has to be the Antichrist, because how could it be Jesus? Jesus is the one opening the seals in order, then to make a quick change, mount a horse, and go riding to the earth? It's just not consistent with what is going on here, with Christ being in control and directing the events of the entire seven-year tribulation. The rapture has taken place, and now the Antichrist is riding to open up the Great Tribulation period by signing a seven-year covenant or peace treaty with Israel, the Arabs, and the rest of the world. In the book of Daniel, we read that a prince will come who will make a covenant with Israel to protect them from their enemies. This is him on the white horse, the rider. We see that in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. This future world dictator is going to come on the scene as a peacemaker. They will believe he is their Messiah, which means he has to be Jewish, or they would never accept him. You read the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. The Messiah is coming through the line of Judah, King David's line. And that's a Jewish line. So the Antichrist cannot be a Gentile. For the Jews to receive him, he has to be Jewish. Today it's clearly obvious we are moving in the direction of a world dictator. All the nations of the world are in trouble. They're unstable. The governments are collapsing. No one seems to have a solution on how to get the world functioning the way it should be. Well, God is preparing the world for the one who is coming. This person is going to rule this earth for 7 years from Jerusalem. And when he takes over, it's going to be a horrific time for the world. I mean, all hell is going to break loose on this planet. The Antichrist will resemble Jesus. Again, the Jews are going to think he's the Messiah. But he'll be Satan's imitation. Satan always tries to counterfeit what Christ has done. Even the Jews, who should know the scriptures, will be deceived by him. The Antichrist will come as a peaceful leader, and he'll seem to solve the world's problems. He'll be received as a great liberator because he'll come on a platform of world unity and peace. But those of us who study the scriptures, we know there won't be peace until the Prince of Peace comes and establishes his kingdom. So this rider on the white horse, you just can't make him out to be Jesus. It couldn't be him, because Jesus is the Lamb who is now on the throne directing these events from heaven. He's the one giving the orders to the four horsemen to ride. This is the Antichrist. The very next horse to ride is the red horse of war riding throughout the earth. Notice what it says of this rider. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Take peace from the earth. The first rider is coming in on a platform of peace, the Antichrist. The second rider comes, And he's taken that peace from the earth, and there's going to be war. The black horse represents worldwide famine that is going to come on this planet. This pestilence is going to take out 1/4 of the world's population. Think about that. 25% of the world, the people in the world, are going to die when this horse rides. We think of death as referring only to the body, but there are really three kinds of death. There's the physical death, which refers only to the body. This kind of death comes to a man because of Adam's sin. Because Adam sinned, all of us are going to die. The moment we were born, we had the sentence of condemnation hanging over our heads. Secondly, there's what is known as spiritual death. Spiritual death is separation from and rebellion against God. We inherited a dead nature from Adam. And because of this dead nature, we have no capacity. We have no desire for God at all. We do our own thing. Third, there's eternal death. It's eternal separation from God in the lake of fire and brimstone for all eternity. It's called hell. You see, this is where the gospel comes in, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unless a man is redeemed and saved, unless a person becomes born again, eternal death is the only thing that will follow. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 calls this the second death. The second death. The first death is physical. The second death is spiritual. God laid death at Adam's feet as his responsibility. Because God never intended to create man just for him to die. Mankind was to live forever. Death was a penalty given because Adam transgressed God's commandment. Him and Eve, they sinned. Because Adam is the head of mankind, his transgression is our transgression, and his death is our death. Now, before anybody gets bent out of shape with Adam or God, here's the awesome news. Christ is now the head of the new creation. And because this new creation has life only in Christ, he alone can give it life. That means Jesus is totally responsible for the life and the eternity of those who put their faith and trust in him. Those who become born-again believers. During the Great Tribulation, death will ride. Death is going to ride. It's why Jesus declared in Matthew 24, verse 22, "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." The scripture does tell us at the white throne judgment, Revelation 20, verse 14, death will finally be destroyed. It's what the Apostle Paul wrote. In 1 Corinthians 15:26, he said the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. This is something God said would come in Ezekiel, the Old Testament, Ezekiel 14:21. "For thus says the Lord God, how much more it shall be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword, famine, wild beasts, and pestilence, to cut off man and beast from it." Ezekiel was talking about the Great Tribulation period in the Old Testament. The riders of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, Jesus mentioned them. Matthew 24, verses 5 to 8. Jesus said, "For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many." The white horse. the Antichrist. He's going to come in the name of Christ, in the name of the Messiah. And you will hear of wars, rumors of wars, the red horse. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. What end? The end of the great tribulation period. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, the black horse, pestilences, the pale horse, and earthquakes in various places. These are the beginnings of sorrows. This is why the book of Revelation has been a source of encouragement to suffering believers throughout history. They read of the Lamb opening the seals. And you know what they think of? They realize God is in full control. They understand God's purposes will be accomplished, especially on earth. Blood represents life. That's why we're told not to eat the blood in the Old Testament and New. It's forbidden. So here in Revelation, the souls of the martyrs under the altar would indicate their lives were given sacrificially to the glory of God. These believers were killed by the enemy in the tribulation period because of their witness to the truth of God and the message of Jesus Christ. Think about this. As born-again believers, nothing was more important to them but to lay their lives down for their Lord and Savior. They know God will eventually judge sin. They know God will eventually establish righteousness in the earth. The problem is, they don't know when. Now, I personally don't believe it's revenge they want. They want vindication of God's holiness. They want the establishment of God's justice. It's what people want today. God made it clear to these martyrs that their sacrifice was an appointment. It wasn't an accident. Nothing is an accident with God. And that others would soon join them. You see, even in the death of God's people, God is still in control. That's why they truly is nothing to fear. We need to understand this. God is righteous. God is holy, but God hates that which is contrary to himself. God has declared war on sin, and God will not compromise with that which has brought so much destruction to mankind. We're told in Psalm chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Next time we're going to look at chapter 7. The Great Tribulation will be given in detail. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that you've given us to look into your holy word. Father, I pray that you would open up our understanding as we read and study the book of Revelation, because it's a time that is just before us and we know you're coming soon, Lord. Father, bless the rest of this book as we study it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.